We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Now I get to talk with Bishop's dad, and that eventually is what Big Ant Heron is going to be known as, and I hope that he's ready for that, because that's going to be a thing. What's up, sir?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I guess if Bishop enters a lot in life where I have known as his dad, that it's probably because he has done something prominent, something worthy of note, and something worthy of a bag, hopefully one that's full of cash. So, yeah, I think that'll be a good thing for the entire Heron family if that ends up being the case. I'm all for it.
I agree with you on that. You definitely want it to be something good, and I considering who his parents are, I have no doubt that that is going to be the case.
He just turned 3, by the way, so that's why we still got a bit of a
birthday feel.
An uproar. Yeah, like yesterday was his birthday, so it made for, well, you know, what was already a busy sports weekend in Chicago between baseball teams and football team and trying to track college sports for all the different stuff I do, and also having birthday festivities going on for a kid and for a toddler turning 3. So it was a busy weekend in our household.
Sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes today is The Score's Anthony Heron.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Shot City! For the better part of the next 2 hours, I am your voice, sitting in for the aforementioned Lawrence Holmes. I am Anthony Heron. We are ready for this show today, man, because there is so much Chicago sports news to cover. My thanks to my guy Herb Lawrence for booking a great lineup of guests. You got 2 hours. You only need 2 guests to fill this time with all that we want to discuss here with you related to the Chicago sports scene. Doesn't get much better than what we'll have for you on this show with all the news happening on the South Side and the baseball scene. The man who's really getting folks' hearts aflutter is one of the main baseball insiders in the industry, Bob Nightingale of USA Today. So we will have Mr. Nightingale on the show in just a few short minutes to discuss the happenings on the South Side, the managerial search that is ensuing right now with Rick Hahn, with Kenny Williams, with Mr. Reinsdorf himself. And there's a lot of folks who are trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Not only how will it work out, but the process itself and the names being thrown out there have some folks looking at it with a bit of a Dwayne Johnson eyebrow lift at the moment. So I'm one of those. So very much looking forward to talking to Bob Nightingale about that. Of course, the Bears on tap this weekend as well. The Bears have had their in-season case of COVID. The Carolina Panthers having some in-season COVID concerns as well, as the NFL at large is dealing with. And we're going to have Jonathan Vilma on the show a little bit later. He's going to be calling the game for Fox Sports. He's already called a couple of Bears games this season. So looking forward to talking to Jonathan Vilma, just getting his take on where things stand with the football club here in Chicago as well. So there's a lot for us to delve into, to dive into. Let me make sure I got my twitch.com up here as well. Folks can see me out there in the Twitch world. And I did, as I was siphoning through a few different shirt options, I did get around to, as I was on with Danny Parkins in the afternoons throughout the week last week, I ended up talking about some of the various eating challenges that I've done, and that topic came up. And I did reference Big Judd's, this burger place out in Boise. They don't like you to call it Boise, out in Boise, Idaho. And so I threw my Big Judd's shirt on today for the folks out in the Twitch world. You can check that out. That was where, if you remember, I was on with Parco last week talking about my Rod Woodson story at the burger spot. And them, let's just say they misinformed me about how things were supposed to go with the rules at Big Judd's and me demolishing their burger challenge. And for some reason, they still saw fit to not try and guarantee me my winnings. You know, when you defeat a challenge like that, you want to make sure the folks give you what you earned. But I ended up digressing, and the better part of valor was just to leave there. I paid for the burgers, and they still threw the picture on the wall. I still got my T-shirt out of it, but didn't go exactly as expected. But I figured, you know what, I was talking about it on the air last week amongst a number of different potential eating challenges. So I threw my Big Judd shirt on so the Twitch audience could check that out.
Twitch.
That's right, Twitch. And I didn't have any Twitch experience, by the way, before doing this, before being on here with some of the stuff we're doing here at The Score the last few weeks. I don't know. Maybe I'll start my own personal Twitch account at some point. But we'll see how that part ends up playing out. But with the topics on today's show, a couple of angles that I want to make sure we end up taking things. And Bob Nightingale, in addition to just being an insider, having inside knowledge of how things are going with the team at the moment, he's also done some writing really over the years about managerial practices, about the hiring process, about whether or not enough minorities end up getting considered for jobs like this. And if they do, what types of jobs are they? And that's one thing that stood out to me specific to Rick Renteria. And, you know, it's happened with him now on both sides of the city, both ends of town, both with the Cubs and then now with the Sox. And it was really a running joke pretty much the entire time that Ricky had this gig was, all right, they're going to give him a little bit of time, and then they're going to let him kind of steer the ship through the down phase of this rebuild. And then when it's actually winning time and they start to accumulate some talent, they're probably going to do to him what the Cubs did to him and move on to a different manager. And I think that there is certainly a representative case to be made for why Ricky is not the perfect manager, why Rick Renteria maybe isn't even the best guy to continue to steer this ship. I think for the results out there on the field from a win and loss perspective, from a productivity perspective, we're all pretty exceptional this season with the Sox. So I would imagine that Rick Renteria is probably sitting somewhere, maybe at home, maybe on a boat, or wherever Rick tends to spend his time these days now that he's no longer the skipper on the South side, that he's probably looking at it like, man, I did everything this ball club, everything my bosses, everything that Sox management asked me to do along the way here over the last 4 years, that I had Bupkis to work with for the majority of that time, and we lost a bunch of games as they were essentially hoping we were going to do. And then once we got enough talent to actually start winning some games, I won some damn games, and I had the best record in the AL going for a minute. And then, yes, things fell apart in the final week. And yes, Luis Robert stopped hitting. And yes, Dallas Keuchel's back was all jacked up. But how much of that is on Ricky? Now, the bullpen concerns that are there, hey, man, I think that's valid. For me, I believe the way I view baseball, especially the manager in baseball, some of those player-dependent variables and the results associated with those, I think that, you know, Joe Maddon is a peak and a prime example of how the handling of a pitching staff, the handling of starting pitchers, are they pulled too quickly? Are they left in too long? Bullpen concerns for how do you actually parse through which matchup makes the most sense for your bullpen and when you put those individuals in the lineup. I think all that, when the player results aren't there, we will parse that with every single manager, even those who are winning, as we saw most readily on the north side of this city of Chicago right here with Joe Maddon in the midst of, on his way to winning a World Series, during his path of winning a World Series, and certainly in the time coming out of the historic World Series win for the Chicago Cubs a few seasons ago. Joe Maddon was never devoid of questions for how he managed things in game and specifically with his pitching staff. So my case would not be that Rick Renteria is a flawless manager, that he is the perfect in-game manager. My question would be, what is the answer for how you bring a manager in who will be beyond reproach, who will be beyond question. I don't think that dude exists. And I think we just experienced that with the guy who won the World Series on the North side. That being said, I'm certainly fine with the Sox moving on from Rick Renteria. I'm just wondering, okay, so what's the next step here? What is the next phase of it? What is now no longer a rebuild? It has been rebuilt, past tense. Now you're looking at championship windows. Now you're looking at trying to actually win a World Series. Now, as Rick Hahn has talked about, you're looking at trying to have something that is sustainable at a high level that leads to consistent winning, perhaps multiple parades when parades are a thing again. Let's assume that parades will be allowed at some point in the not too distant future. When it's time to have some parades, man, all right, you want the Sox to be right there in that discussion to have parades on a regular basis. And, you know, obviously with Bob Nightingale, specifically the Tony La Russa portion of that story, I think it in a way speaks to what my concern would be about Rick Renteria, about the hiring and firing, the process that will now move forward with the Sox in their search for a manager. Because, I mean, yeah, Tony La Russa has won World Series, plural. He has been responsible for parades, plural. That's great. That has been in his past. It's been, what, since 2011, the last time he managed a baseball team. Dude just turned 76 years old. Actually, turned 76 on October 4th. So, hey, it's cool. It's my son's birthday. You know, so you heard me and Lawrence. You heard me and Loho talking about Bishop at the open of the show. He's a Libra. So I got no issue with Tony La Russa. My issue would be that if this is legit, if Tony La Russa is really the guy that they're looking to hire, that they're planning to hire, then I don't know, man. How much of an upgrade is that really? And beyond even being an upgrade, because, yeah, there's plenty of case to be made. Just say Tony La Russa is a better manager than Rick Renteria. All right, no doubt. Cool with that. But how does that legitimately modernize your baseball operation in the way that supposedly the ball club would be looking to do? Because if part of the issue with Rick Renteria was that his approach was dated, a little too old school, perhaps the management of the pitching staff, perhaps how he managed the lineup and set the lineup from one game to the next, if that didn't suit the way that Sox management really liked it, and honestly, to my understanding, from a couple of folks I've heard from who are close, who know Rick Renteria, I do think he, you know, supposedly, reportedly handled things in line with the way management wanted him to from that perspective, as far as who was on the field, who was taking the mound, who in game three was involved in the bullpen game and all those types of things. What does Tony La Russa necessarily give you at 76 years old, aside from his pedigree? Like, he's got that championship pedigree, but he's been, I'm not going to say out of the game, he hasn't managed since 2011. He's been in the game. He's been involved with some other organizations. But is he necessarily the one who's going to come in and modernize things for you, have this new approach, perhaps have kind of this Ivy League-esque approach, even if he, you know, isn't necessarily an Ivy Leaguer per se? Or A.J. Hinch isn't an Ivy Leaguer per se. He's a Stanford guy, what, a psych major or something like that. So a highbrow type of individual, but I don't know if that's necessarily Tony La Russa. Now, he's won, but it feels hard to fathom that it's legit as far as the consideration of really hiring him. And he's had other opportunities to manage other ball clubs.
This, you know, seems like a Jerry Reinsdorf, hey, I'm still meddling with the White Sox type of stuff. That's why I can't outright dismiss Bob Nightingale's report, because we've seen it time and again where Jerry puts his hands on what the team is doing. And I am dumbfounded by his name even being brought up. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Zero sense at all.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it. If the notion is that we want to make sure folks know we're taking this seriously, and that, you know, to the point that Rick Hahn has made, and I'm sure you probably played it before, we can fire up the Rick Hahn audio here in a moment, just talking about what his preferences are for the next manager of the Sox and wanting someone with that winning pedigree. Yeah, Tony La Russa has the winning pedigree, but part of what Rick Hahn said, if I'm not mistaken, was that you'd like it to be involved in recent winning. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Herb, let's fire that up, man. What did Rick Hahn say specifically about what they were looking for in the next manager?
This is an opportunity for us. as an organization. We've obviously been somewhat insular in terms of our managerial hirings over the last several years. This is an opportunity for us to speak to individuals with other organizations that have had success and learn from them and get their outsider objective perspective on our organization. Ultimately, I think the best candidate or the ideal candidate is going to be someone who has experience with a championship organization in recent years. Recent October experience with a championship organization would be ideal. But we're going to keep an open mind. And over this next several weeks, we'll diligently pursue who's on our list and go from there.
Recent October experience. I mean, there's not going to be anybody you can find who's got more overall October experience than Tony La Russa. I guess recent could maybe be subjective. Like maybe recent, maybe 2011 maybe feels recent to the White Sox, I guess, just depending on how you would necessarily view that term. It's open to interpretation. To me, not managing for the better part of a decade, that doesn't feel recent to me. And you know, I don't necessarily consider myself an ageist. I think, as many of you know, one of my nicknames in college was Grandpa. So I've always been an old soul. But at 76 and having not managed for nearly a decade at this point, I'm not sure how Tony La Russa necessarily suits that. I mean, you know, if he came in and did the job. I mean, the thing is, I think whoever the White Sox next manager is will come in and win because they have players. And they're going to even add more players. Like we presume Michael Kopech will come in, be mentally and physically healthy, and be your third starter at worst. Like a guy with the talents of Michael Kopech as your number three, that just enhances everything we just saw the White Sox try to go through here. That just puts you in a position where, you know, like we just saw games replay out. They're like, we don't know who to put in there. All right, let's just throw a bunch of bullpen guys at him and hope for the best. They wouldn't necessarily be in that position with Michael Kopech within this battery of pitchers and catchers because now you got three dudes you can throw at him, and that gives you, obviously, your best opportunity you could hope for in the postseason. I mean, legitimately, if you got at least two, in a perfect scenario, you'll have at least three starters that you can count on, that you feel great about taking the mound in postseason play. So that was one of the first things I said. I think it was one of the first things that I think literally as the season ended in Oakland, I think my first tweet was, all right, cool run. Good season, guys. You add Michael Kopech to this group and they really got something. So again, my case, my thought process isn't necessarily about whether or not Rick Renteria is a flawless baseball manager. I don't necessarily think those exist. I could be wrong, but in the end, I believe that if they hire some representative managerial candidate, they will come in and win with this club. Rick Renteria won this past season with this club, and the next manager will come in and win with this club. I'm just wondering about the candidates here because the main two names we're hearing right now are Tony La Russa, you know, for however you feel about that. Most folks not too stoked about it. But then also AJ Hinch. And what I'm curious about, Herb, is, and you were talking about this a little bit last week, if AJ Hinch is worthy of consideration, then why should Alex Cora or Carlos Beltran, why should those guys necessarily be eliminated from the discussion then? Like why are they unapproachable if AJ Hinch is like that? That seems to be a disconnect, and I think the way that these individuals are being perceived coming out of the Houston scandal. I don't know if you got a better sense for that than I do.
No, I just think the White Sox, and most people think that Alex Cora is going to probably go back to Boston. They're setting up the table for him, but he does have opportunities here with the White Sox and probably in Detroit also, so he's probably sussing out his opportunities. I would love a guy, if we're going to go through these guys who are cheaters, I would love Alex Cora because just the familiarity. I know his brother Joey will come back and help out the White Sox. I don't want any of the cheaters, to be to be frank. But if we're going to do that, give me Alex Cora. Give me a guy that one in Houston with those cheaters, and then one in Boston with and cheating again. So if we're going to throw integrity away, might as well have a guy that can keep with the bilingual flavor, a guy that is familiar to the process, familiar to the teams, and then he brings his brother in to be either a bench coach or a third base coach. I'm fine with that, but I would want to stay away from those guys 100%, and Tony La Russa too. But I know that one of those things is going to happen. They're going to either hire Tony La Russa, which that would probably be the worst move, the absolute worst move.
The worst, huh?
Yes, because he's out of touch. He doesn't know modern baseball. And they're fun. I think if we look back to the Cardinals and all that stoic play and all that play the game the right way stuff, he'll bring that here to Chicago, which I do not like. Baseball police garbage? No, get that garbage out of here. White Sox need to have fun. And those guys, especially Timmy, especially Luis Robert, Eloy, need to have enjoyment while they're playing baseball. I think that's why you saw the growth of Tim Anderson in these last couple of years, because he started being himself and start being fun. And baseball should be that. And I also think if you bring A.J. Hinch in, you don't get a free agent like Trevor Bauer, because he's got a thing for the Houston Astros and all the cheaters there. So I would want to get a guy that gives me all the options of these free agents want to come to play for us, and we get to play loose and fun like we used to in 2020.
We saw the Cubs, obviously, on the north side, hire Rick Renteria as the manager, and then bring in Joe Maddon once they decided, all right, we've lost enough. We have forced the losing for long enough. And Rick, we have forced the losing upon you for long enough, and now we're going to hire another guy. We're going to hire Joe Maddon instead, now that we would actually like to win. So thank you for your service, and you may move on. White Sox now essentially doing the same thing with Rick Renteria, a fellow Iowa Hawkeye of mine. Bo Porter was the one who predated A.J. Hinch in Houston, where the Astros were one of the ones in the earlier part of this decade doing a very similar thing as far as let's tear it down, let's rebuild, let's accumulate, you know, let's save some dollars, let's give ourselves the opportunity to accumulate talent, but we got to lose for a couple of years to do that. Bo Porter was the guy who got that opportunity to lose. He had the opportunity to lose, essentially, in Houston, and then they moved on from him and brought in A.J. Hinch once they decided it was time to win and time to accumulate talent and time to, I suppose, bring in a manager who we felt like winning with, essentially. And obviously, I think one of my questions, and one of the things I look forward to discussing with Bob Nightingale, is he has obviously covered this topic and all things baseball much more closely than I would ever imagine to, would be just the, you know, in my sport, in football, where the Rooney Rule exists, and they do have what's known, I guess, as the Bud Selig Rule in baseball, where you have to at least interview minority candidates for senior positions in your organizations. But, you know, it does feel like, through my lens, where baseball has a similar issue that the NFL deals with, in our, even when minority candidates get opportunities, get to be a head coach, is it really a job that's rife with potential? Is it really a gig that you can actually succeed in? Or are a lot of the opportunities still going where, all right, here, you get the interim tag for a little bit before we decide if we're going to bring in someone else? Or you get the rebuild. Hey, we're going to be really bad, Todd Bowles. We're going to be really bad for a while. How about you come in and we're going to tear the whole thing down, and we'll see. Maybe you'll get another opportunity. Or you, Raheem Morris, while we're rebuilding. Here, take this job. It feels like that happens frequently enough. And it's not that should never happen with a minority candidate in any sport. But what is that balance? What is the balance of how many opportunities do minority candidates get for plum jobs, for prime opportunities, versus just getting the rebuild, getting the tear it down, and then we'll have someone else build it back up when we're actually going to put resources into it? We know the White Sox have been more than willing to. You know, Kenny Williams, one of the only black senior executives in Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen, famously winning a World Series for them 15 years back. So they're willing to hire minorities. All right, but where is that going to be within this process looking for your next manager? That's what I'm curious about with how this goes on the South Side. So we got plenty of baseball to discuss here with a White Sox focus because everyone's making the news at the moment, leading that news cycle as it relates to things in this city. We will keep that rolling, but plenty of football on the way as well. I know you expect to hear some Bears when I come on these airwaves, so we will get some Bears going for you later on as well. And a curiosity I have just with how this Bears season has gone so far and what lens we view it through. And for me, being a bit of a cinephile, viewing it through a cinematic lens, like what movies out there would we sort of compare to what we've seen through five weeks of this Bears football season? I want to get your thoughts on that later on as we get into the show also. But more baseball on the way here. We'll take a quick timeout. You can reach us on the phone line here. Phone lines are open for the moment at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. That is the text line you can reach us on as well. So we'll read some of your texts, take some of your calls before we get to Bob Nightingale in just a few moments to discuss his findings. And he has got apparently the ear of someone really high up in the organization. We'll talk to Bob about what's happening with the Sox in just a few moments. We'll do that here. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
For the most part, we are waiting until we have a new manager in place to make him part of the process of evaluating our staff and coming up with what's the best fit going forward for our staff.
We shall see. We shall see whether or not that legitimately is the case, how much of that ends up factoring into the decision-making of the White Sox on the South Side. We're just a few minutes away from a discussion with Bob Nightingale that we're really looking forward to, as he's been the one with his finger on the pulse of what's being considered, and specifically as it relates to Tony La Russa being considered for the managerial position on the South Side with the Sox. Before we do that, let's go ahead and get out to the phone lines. We've got John in Joliet on the line right now as we're talking some baseball here on The Score. What's up, John?
Someone call security at Sox Park and go get that vodka bottle out of Jerry Reinsdorf's office. This dude must be crazy. I mean, I like Dick Allen, but I don't want him to DH for the White Sox right now. Is this guy insane going after Tony La Russa? I mean, seriously, Ant, I just can't believe that this guy's name even came up. This team, Sox fans have been waiting for this for so long. I mean, haven't made the playoffs in so long. And you're going to bring this old – I don't even want to say it, man, because I
– Thank you.
That's angry, man. This will make Sox fans angry. You bring in Tony La Russa in here, and you will hear nothing but anger.
Well, you may have a point there, John. I appreciate the call, man, and thank you for catching yourself, because we are hearing the angst of a Sox fan there who's concerned about what the process is at the moment. I mean, you know, Joe Torre's working at the league office. Why not hire him back? Like, those are the types of jokes that you're seeing on social media about this, and it doesn't feel realistic. It doesn't feel it's certainly possible, but it doesn't feel plausible that this is the direction they would end up going with it, because while you're supposedly, and everything, every step of the way here has been so meticulous that the Sox have gone through with this process. It's part of why, even though, again, I'm more than willing to admit that there are issues in the managerial stylings of Rick Renteria, but I kind of thought that they would, in their meticulous sort of fashion, in their patient fashion that they've taken in the rebuild, say, you know what, let's give Ricky a full season here now that we have assembled talent, now that we have begun to win with this assembled talent. But they decided not to, and cool, that is their prerogative, obviously. But then just the process of who will be considered for the next manager, this has a lot of folks' danders up, a lot of folks' radar really in tune with how the Sox are handling this, because Tony La Russa being such a big and prominent name out there, it doesn't necessarily speak to the pointing ahead, the arrow towards the future that it would seem like White Sox baseball is looking to be about, has been about here in this rebuild, and in getting young, talented prospects signed up very early on and making sure that you're solidifying things. And then, frankly, having the lineup situated in a manner where they probably, once, if they just fizzle out of hitting home runs, then the entire offense shouldn't fizzle out in the way that it kind of has fizzled out for the Cubs over the last couple of years here, where either they hit five home runs in a game or they score one run because they all they have is boppers. The whole John Jay reference, all those jokes I would tell consistently with Shep, we would come on the air after a Cubs game. It's because they didn't have any John Jay types in the lineup. The White Sox have guys who will get on base. They have Tim Andersons with high batting averages. They have people who do not live and die only with the home run. And so it feels like the way they have shaped this roster has been so meticulous and so pointed up to this point. To have Tony La Russa be such a name out there, I know, like, our guy Danny Parkins, he's kind of said that it's all a big red herring just to make people more comfortable with hiring A.J. Hinch. Maybe it's that. But I'm going to get out of the way so we can get someone on the line who legitimately knows this for sure. On the other side of this timeout, we will talk to Bob Nightingale. He has been the one updating us every step of the way here on the White Sox and their managerial search, and specifically as it relates to the Hall of Famer, Tony La Russa. Is it legit? I'm going to ask Bob Nightingale that next here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is not how we wanted this to end. We wanted it to end with Ricky leading us to championships. That was the intent from the start. Over time, again, through very candid and quite frankly personal conversations about where this organization is, what our time horizon is, what we need to do to win in October and get to that final ultimate goal, it became evident that it was time to make a change.
That change was made. Change was going to come to the White Sox. Hashtag change the game. They meant it. And now as they look towards the future, it appears that a face, a figure, a Hall of Famer from the past is reportedly leading the list as the White Sox search for their next manager. And the man who has been all over that story in a variety of ways is on the line right now. Radio.com Sports Baseball Insider Bob Nightingale. And Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/cred. And also, our guest joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. All right, I wanted to get all that out of the way, Bob Nightingale, because there is plenty to discuss with you, sir. First and foremost, in a busy time, how you doing today?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, man, appreciate you joining us. This White Sox story, we just had a caller. It was John from Joliet on the line just a few moments ago before we got to you. And there's folks having to censor themselves as they're discussing things in polite company related to the situation on the South Side. So let's get directly to the Tony La Russa portion of the topic. Why? Even before the why, is it how legitimate is it at this point? I think is probably the main question on the tips of a lot of folks' tongues.
Well, I mean, very legitimate. I mean, right now he's their number one candidate. The White Sox sought permission from Los Angeles Angels to speak to him. The Angels said they have granted permission, and they're talking now. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. Leading the Oakland A's to World Series championships and in the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, he's been active. He retired as a manager in 2011. You know, then went on to lead the baseball operations in Arizona before moving on to Boston and the Angels. You can't underestimate the relationship that he has with Jerry Reinsdorf. And I think, you know, the way both of them see it, it could be a storybook thing. I mean, it'd be like a Hollywood movie to see Reinsdorf, who was fired by the White Sox, in the 80s, coming back here a few decades later and leading the White Sox to a World Series championship.
And Bob is on Twitter, at B Nightingale. You can see where he just recently posted the Los Angeles Angels and them granting the official permission for the White Sox to interview Tony La Russa. Take us a little deeper, because the first time, and Jerry Reinsdorf wasn't even the owner of the White Sox yet, the first time around that Tony La Russa was initially hired as the manager for this ball club, and their relationship at that point, once Reinsdorf actually took ownership of the team, and since then, give us a better sense for that relationship.
Well, I mean, just a deep admiration for both. You know, when you're at the winter meetings, you see them together. They constantly talk. Let's put it this way. In 2011, Tony La Russa had told very, very few people he planned to retire as manager after that season. He wins the World Series, and the celebration that night on the field, who's out there, is Jerry Reinsdorf, just to see this moment for Tony and what it meant to him. And I think, you know, in back of each of one's minds, I think Jerry had always thought, and Tony had always thought too, man, this is cool, but it would have been very cool to do it together.
The fit, I think, goes to the why that I was referencing a moment ago, Bob, because in moving on from Rick Renteria, I mean, you know, like you referenced, Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer, 3 World Series titles. So that part is without question. But for the direction it seems like this franchise has been going throughout the rebuild and then in moving on from a manager who did win this past season, the impression is that the Sox are modernizing and the Ivy League approach is something that's been anticipated here on the South Side. So what type of fit would it even be to bring in a Tony La Russa?
Well, obviously a very smart guy, and you know, he's like I said, he's still been in baseball even after retiring as manager. So he's well-versed in analytics, everything else. I mean, he pretty much invented the bullpen. I mean, it was his ideas to do the one-inning saves and setting things up like that. So a master at the bullpen management. You know, that's what cost Rick Renteria his job. So, you know, still sharp. I know people bring up his age. He's 76. Well, you know, the next president of the United States, you know, looks like he'll be 77 years old. He's running a country. Tony's just running a baseball team on the field. Big difference.
I suppose that's one way to look at it from a comparison perspective. Rick Hahn has been the forward-facing face of this rebuild for the last few seasons. Kenny Williams more in the background. Obviously, Jerry Reinsdorf and his family still running the show and cutting the checks here. Is Rick Hahn, who has been the face and the voice of the Sox rebuild, is this something that would jive with the way that he's been operating, or would the relationship between ownership and La Russa just supersede what Rick Hahn would want to do?
Well, I mean, Rick Hahn, you know, works for, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams, for that matter. Kenny Williams has a higher title. So, you know, whatever owner wants in any organization, you know, you know, he can do what he wants. I mean, if Jerry Reinsdorf wanted to bring back, you know, Hawk Harrelson as GM, there's nothing anybody could do about it. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, AJ Hinch, if it doesn't work out with Tony La Russa, AJ Hinch is the guy. Of course, the cheating scandal, you know, haunts AJ Hinch. Who knows if this is the end of it? You know, there's books coming out, there's documentaries. So, you know, that could, you know, provide some more information. So that would always be a fear as well. So, you know, obviously this team is built to win a championship right now. If they were still to rebuild, hey, this wouldn't be Tony La Russa's job. And this is the only job I think Tony La Russa would leave retirement for. He's been offered several jobs in the past years to come back as manager, has turned it down. But this is the only place he would consider.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports with us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He's on Twitter at B Nightingale. He's also Intercom Radio Sports Insider for the MLB Network as well. And you mentioned the name AJ Hinch, and you've been reporting in recent days here that La Russa and Hinch are the two main names in consideration. Does it seem plausible in any way that La Russa's name being thrust towards the front here is in some ways cover for, like you referenced, the cheating scandal that could rub folks the wrong way by bringing in an AJ Hinch or someone who was involved with Houston?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always going to haunt AJ Hinch. I mean, he was, you know, part of that whole thing. I mean, we see how much hatred there is for the Astros. Well, he was the manager of that team. So, you know, all of a sudden the hatred is going to be directed toward him, whether he winds up with the White Sox or Tigers or somewhere else. I mean, that's going to, you know, be questions, people booing on the road as well, you know, knowing that how, you know, of his role. So I'm sure that's a factor too. You know, probably wouldn't be a factor. You know, it would not be you know, maybe Hinch would have even a better chance for the job if not for that scandal. But that scandal is going to be around. People don't forget it.
why has Tony La Russa turned down prior opportunities here over the years to return to being a manager?
Well, I think just, you know, you go out as a World Series champion, you know, what better way? You know, it's like a John Elway leaving, you know, as with the Broncos, you know, that sort of thing, you know, Jordan leaving, you know, just things as that, you know, you go out on top. And what, you know, there wasn't that great situation. This is a marvelous situation, and this team is, on the brink of greatness. And so that's why. And I really believe if it was owned by anybody else, if it was any other team, there's no way. But I think, you know, there was still some emptiness there. I mean, he never should have been fired in the first place back in the 80s. Certainly Jerry Reinsdorf knows that as well. And I think it was always a dream, you know, like a Hollywood story. I think if Tony La Russa came back to manage the White Sox, they would be the number one story in baseball. You know, then everybody would be at White Sox camp next spring and talk about the White Sox just to see how this works out. It's certainly the number one storyline.
Are there indications from your coverage of these matters, from your knowledge of how Tony La Russa has perhaps evolved over the years? I mean, the White Sox are kind of the poster children for the let him play and the fun movement that has taken place and flipping bats and the like. That's not Tony La Russa's vibe. It never was before. And then you got the sort of modernized version of analytics sort of telling managers how to operate before game, in game. I mean, would these things necessarily work for La Russa if he came in?
Oh, sure. I mean, the last manager 9 years ago, this whole game was different 9 years ago. What was it, 4 years ago to the day, Jose Bautista, you know, threw the bat flip.
Yeah, man.
And we were bonkers in baseball. So everybody has changed. It's just a different game. Obviously, you know, Russa, you know, had so much success, speaks fluent Spanish. So, you know, a bright guy. And, you know, he likes analytics too. I mean, he was doing the analytics stuff before it was even called that. And all these guys are open to ideas. There's not a manager in baseball now, you know, that doesn't embrace with the analytics, or at least listen to what the front office says. You know, even Bruce Bochy, at the end. I mean, there's guys that didn't come up that way, but everyone's you know, taking that knowledge now and doing it, you know, combining it with their own savvy.
Yeah, I believe the last time he managed the Sox, it was known as rotisserie baseball or something to that effect when it was in its infancy. But before we let you go, Bob, you've written about, there's something I was addressing earlier in the show, about minority hiring woes. You were writing about that for USA Today late last year. And, you know, the White Sox have obviously been an organization between Kenny Williams in a senior executive position, Ozzie Guillen winning a World Series for them 15 years ago. I mean, they don't have a problem hiring minorities, but now, you know, Tony La Russa being the chief candidate here seems to indicate they're moving somewhat swiftly. Just White Sox specifically, and then kind of baseball at large, just the hiring practices dealing with minorities in managerial positions. And it relates directly to Rick Renteria, in my opinion, having two times where he's been tasked with bad baseball, and then they sort of usher him out when it's time for good baseball. Where do you see things standing from a minority hiring perspective?
Well, it's only been abysmal, you know, every year, you know, write about this, you know, whether it's the lack of black players on the field, management levels, White Sox, you know, it's too tall through all this stuff. There's not a soul out there that says the White Sox have not been by the leaders in hiring front office people, you know, managers, you know, as you mentioned with the Renteria and Ozzy, staff, front office, you know, everybody. So, but yeah, throughout baseball as a whole, you know, it's terrible. I mean, look at Dusty Baker. You know, what a great manager he is. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and he probably would never have gotten another chance unless AJ Hinch was fired. And then they, you know, moved quickly because they want a veteran guy to lead them. And I think, you know, similar here. You know, the White Sox want a veteran guy to lead them that's been through that. You know, Jack McKean with the Marlins that year in 03, when they fired their manager, and they hired Jack McKean, who was 80 years old, and McKean led them to the title. So something to be said about experience.
Well, no doubt Tony La Russa has plenty of that. Bob, anything that we should be looking for between whether it's on social media or anything else? I mean, the timeline here, do you anticipate the White Sox maybe making a move in the very near future?
Well, you can't talk to A.J. Hinch until the World Series is over. He's still suspended, so they can't.
But I mean, if La Russa is their guy, maybe they don't need to wait for Hinch, right?
Well, I would think they'd still talk. I think they still have to talk. Remember now, Hinch went to Stanford. Kenny Wins went to Stanford, too. Different times, but together. Rick Hahn was A.J. Hinch's agent when he was back with the Morag group. So I think they, out of courtesy, they still talk to Hinch. And you also have to bring in minority candidates to interview. You can't just hire, even if they want to, La Russa right now and, announce it, in a few days, they could not do that. You still have to bring in other people to interview to make this a fair process.
Well, we're going to have to watch it closely, and we know you will have it covered as well as anyone. Bob Nightingale on Twitter, at B Nightingale. Great stuff, Bob. We're going to keep following you, man. Hopefully, I mean, in my mind, it feels far-fetched in a lot of folks' minds, but, man, Tony La Russa, you'd have a Hall of Fame manager. I guess that would be something. Thank you for your time.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Bob Nightingale of USA Today and Intercom's Radio Sports Insider on Twitter, as I mentioned, at B Nightingale. We're going to get to some Bears in my second hour with you here, filling in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show. But I do want to give you an opportunity to react to what we just heard from Bob Nightingale. He's been obviously the main voice there leading the story, letting folks know that Tony La Russa has been right there in the thick of the crosshair for the White Sox. They want to bring him back decades later, before any of us, or at least many of us, were alive. It was the first time he got hired as a Sox manager. Go ahead and react to what you heard from Bob Nightingale there. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Plenty of reaction on the text zone already. We'll get that and more, and then we'll get into some Bears later on in hour number two. I'm Anthony Herr, and this is the Lawrence Holmes Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.